Hey everyone, and welcome back to the We and Oh God, I can't even do my name. This is I'm serious. This is why my parts laugh at me about this. They're like, you know, you are a technological idiot. I'm like, yeah, I know.
I also still sit with my notebook that has written what I should say in my intro. Can't remember.
Yep. Yeah, I have it right here. I just can't. Oh, this is stupid. Hang on, I'm going to let, yeah. Hey, Sarah, sorry, it's Jinx. Give me 1 second, I'm going to do it for her.
Sure, Jinx, no worries.
Otherwise, this will get stupid. Hey, everyone, thanks for joining us on another episode of the We and Me podcast. This is Erica, and today we're very excited because we have the Stronghold System with us. We're speaking with Sarah today. Whew. Hey, Sarah, thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much.
Of course, of course. We're really excited to have you on because we're going to be chatting today about being an open system on social media, some of the work that Sarah and the Stronghold System do, their website, all of the information that you can find there if you're a newer diagnosed system, if you're looking for a community and you're further along in your diagnoses. We've got all kinds of good DID information for everybody today.
Yes, awesome. I'm so looking forward to this. We spoke, you know, doing this podcast a while ago, and today's the day, so I'm really happy about that. 2019, which means it's 25 years ago that DID became a thing. Before that was multiple personality disorder. 25 years ago, it changed into dissociative identity disorder, so it's a great year to do this podcast for me.
Yes, agreed. I did see that it had been 25 years. I don't remember which one of my parts pointed it out to me.
Yes, it is. So this year for me is all about activism and breaking the stigma and, getting the word out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's fantastic. Let's discuss some of that. Before we have you share some of your story, if you don't mind, can you just go ahead and plug your website for people and let them know what kind of information they can find there?
Yes, my website is powertotheplurals.com. It's a website for both people who are plural, living with DID or OSDD, and also for professionals. So I write all sorts of articles. We have a empowerment project, like a DID 101, where we do a full year of free articles once a week with a different topic. So it's going great, actually.
That's fantastic. When I first had come across your website, we kind of like poked around and everything like that, and there's so much information. We really like it, and we're really excited that you decided to come on.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. So let's let our audience get to know you and the Stronghold System a little bit. Please feel free to share what you'd like about your system. Where you maybe you could begin with where you started noticing some problems that were strange to you, some like memory gaps and that sort of thing. Or was there something that had occurred that made you realize, oh, okay, this is DID or NPD as it was years ago?
So for us, I think we've always known that something was different about us, or I think when we grew up, we thought everyone like hurt other people in their head, but no one really talked about it. I thought it was a very private thing. I didn't realize that singleton people didn't, you know, hear their other parts. So
yeah.
There was that.
Yeah.
And then in 2012, we got diagnosed. What happened for us was that a therapist confronted me, you know, because I didn't know. She asked me a question like, do you know what time of year it is? Do you know what season it is or what which month it is? And I couldn't do it. So I just made something up that was wrong.
Yeah.
So she kind of confronted me like, you know, how come you don't know which time of the year it is? And I said, I don't know, you know, I'm just going to go home. I'm just confused today. It's not a good day. So I went home, or so I thought, but apparently one of my other parts went back to that therapist and said, you know, I read something online about dissociative identity disorder. I think that's it. And the therapist said, I think so too. We should find, you know, someone specialized in this so you can get a diagnosis. So, and we were really mad actually at that part. Her name is Esther. That she went back and exposed us like that. That felt really dangerous.
Yeah.
Back then. Yeah.
Yeah, I can
Whereas
imagine.
now we're so open and out, but back then it was all like secret and no one could know. And yeah, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. That is, some within my system have had similar experiences with that, where I had gone to doctors before. I had woken up in doctor's offices many, many times in hospitals and different things like that. And I wasn't aware at all of my parts.
Yeah.
Wasn't something that I knew at all. I knew something wasn't quite right because I could feel things physically. I could feel different things that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But then I would get lost in thought and in essence end up dissociating completely and losing time because of that. And then if one of my parts had been able to take over, because in some instances they of course were, so if they were able to do that, then things just got a little chaotic because then they prevented me from being around for years at times.
Yeah, we don't have a host person or something. So we switch hosts every year or every 2 years. It seems that way, at least now that we're in adulthood. Maybe it was different when we grew up. We don't really exactly know, but that's how it works for us now. So we don't have one main front person.
Interesting. I didn't know. Can you talk a little bit more about that? So is that just a choice, or is that something that you guys have discussed within your system to where different alters get a turn every few years? Is that the purpose of it, or is it just more kind of what happens?
No, I wish.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
Our hosts, we have hosts
sure.
parts in our system and they host, but they can only do it for so long. And then something happens and someone else takes over. So no, it's not something we plan. It's not something we enjoy or something. It just is the way we notice how it goes over the years. So
it's like the current host gets too much is going on. They get too exhausted, and then the next one takes over.
Exactly.
And they kind of rotate to give each other a break in a sense, but not structured. There's no structure to it.
No, not really.
Okay. Just so I can get a better understanding, and then our listeners can better understand too, because we do have a lot of psychologists that listen to the show. Well, it's one of the reasons why we started doing it, is because it's an extension of the Living DID talks that we had begun doing.
Yeah.
So can you...
A lot of portal systems do have one front person, right? That is the person losing time in those systems most of the time. But for us, all of us lose time if we lose time, because we try to be co-conscious as much as possible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for the we and me, for us, that would be me. I'm Erica, and I have massive gaps in my memory. I know some of my parts do as well, but that was more by design, honestly, than anything else, because others were protecting them from whatever it was.
Yeah, of course. And if you're a part, you don't have to know how to do grocery shopping, for example, right? Because someone else is always taking care of that for you. So why would you know how to do that? Yeah, we have that as well.
Yeah, I have different parts that they'll go grocery shopping, and there are quite a few who can, but they're not gonna, because they know that Jinx or Minnie will take care of it.
Yeah.
Or one other in the system. Now because of the diagnosis that we were able to get from the Mayo Clinic and then the work we've been doing in therapy, now I have the ability to go grocery shopping.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you. It seems strange to celebrate that, the ability to grocery shop, but
it's quite an accomplishment, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
for some people at least. Others, they have no problem at all with it, but for me, it's a big problem. Still is. After all these years, I still avoid the candy aisle because I know it will probably go wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are certain aisles that I won't go down unless I can feel Minnie. Because Minnie, she'll make sure that everybody... She's like the mum of the system. And she'll make sure that everybody stays in their place. They know that she'll get them what they like if they listen. If they don't... Cereal's getting skipped this week.
Yes.
So it can get very tricky. And I had to actually recently explain that to my husband, last year sometime, Because we stopped at, I don't remember where we were going. It was a nothing day, you know, but we stopped. It was some weekend. We stopped at a gas station and he asked, he's like, hey, can you grab me whatever it was, some energy drink probably. I was like, yeah, sure. You know, so I go in, he's pumping the gas, and then he had to call me. He's like, what are you doing? Like, what do you mean? And then I looked around and I'm like, oh my God, what is happening to me? And there it is in my arms. Like, I've got one hand on one of the cooler doors, and I'm standing there holding the door with it open. And I've got like gummy bears and gummy worms and a Snickers and Sean's energy drink. My husband's name is Sean. In my hand. And a bunch of other stuff.
Did not forget.
Yeah, they didn't forget him. But there's a bunch of other stuff piled in my arm. And apparently what had happened was a few parts were fighting about what to get to drink for me.
Oh, yeah.
So we got stuck, frozen there, holding the door open. And he's like, do you need my help? And because he was, of course, worried. He knows, obviously, that I have DID.
Yeah.
But he's like, what the heck happened? It really freaked him out. Like, that was one of those things that I have to be honest. It was a small thing, but that really freaked him out because he was just worried about us, you know. Yeah. I told him, I was like, it's the nature of DID sometimes. Sometimes there's not a problem for months. And then sometimes you can't decide between an iced tea or a Diet Coke. And then that happens.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we always drink the same brand of Coke always.
Yeah.
Because we, like, it's too confusing for us to have multiple drinks. We just stop drinking. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that too.
We can't choose or something like that. So we limit the options. We just have this or water.
That's good. That's smart to do. I myself prefer tea because I don't really drink pop. I haven't drank pop since I was a kid. You know,
early. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I just don't drink it. Every once in a while, I'll get a taste for it, and when I do, I know that one of my parts wants it because I don't actually like the taste of it.
Nice.
It's too sweet to me.
Okay.
But I'm diabetic too, so that is probably
So it's a good thing then.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to drink diet, and they do. My parts, they'll make sure they get diet, especially. I mean, as far as the ones who know about the diabetes, but.
Yeah.
That gets complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, I had diabetes when I was pregnant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah. What is it? Gestational.
Sorry, I don't know.
No, that's the word in the States.
Yeah. It might be.
Yeah, during
I wouldn't know.
You're not anymore though. Your body like adapted and
yeah, it's after I was like after my baby it was gone.
Well, that's good. Are you comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, sure.
Being a parent with DID?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's go ahead and chat a little bit about that, and then we'll come back around to some of the advocacy work.
Yeah, sure.
What you just mentioned about being pregnant with DID, I know being a mom, no matter who you are, comes with various challenges, but with DID, What was the pregnancy like for some of your system? Did everyone connect to the body and feel pregnant? Or was it
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. The pregnancy was horrible, to be honest. Yeah. I've been sick for 9 months. I was in bed for 9 months.
Oh my God.
Disassociating for 9 months.
Yeah.
And it was quite traumatic, to be honest. Especially the birth part. It took like 33 hours. So,
oh my God.
I was quite done for.
Yeah.
I was in so much pain and just, I don't have much memory of it, but I do know it was really not good. And we ended up with a postnatal depression, I think it's called.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that our postpartum depression?
Postpartum. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. So we ended up with a postpartum depression after giving birth. So that was also really complicated to deal with. And the whole pregnancy was traumatic, really. And we didn't expect that. We were so happy that we were pregnant. We were married happily, planned it all. It worked out. We felt so blessed and happy. And then I went to Canada when I was 9 weeks pregnant. And when I came back 2 weeks later, I was sick and it didn't go away. until baby was delivered.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah. And that was a really weird experience, to be honest. So, and being in bed for 9 months, as we all know, that's not good. That makes you start associating really badly, so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That is, yikes. You know, you hear about...
and then I... Oh, sorry.
No, you're okay. I was just going to say, you hear about difficult pregnancies, but that's one of the big curiosities for me, right, is DID systems who have children, and it's difficult, it goes well, and all the various in-betweens of that, because I just think that it's so interesting and amazing to me that systems can make that work, you know?
Yeah. We are actually very glad that we didn't have, like, one host person when we were pregnant, because that makes it easier for us to accept that our son is, you know, our son.
Right.
Just the son of one person. So that makes it easier for us. For some of the male parts, it was really difficult being pregnant, seeing the body changes. Like,
yeah.
That was obviously really, really horrific for them. Also, because we didn't know we had DID back then, so we didn't have communication, we couldn't talk about it with each other, you know, like, is this a good idea? I think if right now any one of us really wanted to get pregnant, that would be a big problem. Our male's parts wouldn't accept that anymore.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have that say back then, right?
Right.
If you're not aware, things just happen to you.
Right.
You find out afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of my male parts would have a really difficult time with that as well. So that's,
yeah,
that's just one reason why I always like to talk to systems who have had children, because I think it's something that a lot of the time people don't really talk about. And we just recently had someone DID reach out to us who is currently pregnant. So I think that some of these conversations are really important to have, because people don't talk about it. Psychologists really struggle with how to help a system,
right,
that is currently pregnant. And then you have the fear of some of the different parts, like, I mean, all endless fears, because, you know, you're becoming a parent, first of all, which is just fear inducing in itself when you ask anyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, yeah, because this little tiny life and creature that you just produced needs help. You have to do everything for it.
Yep.
Which then is also triggering for some people within systems. And then there's the fear for other system members that people will want to take your child from you and all of those types of things.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's a whole slew of trickiness to that. And I think that a lot of the problem is that it's fear-based, so a lot of people don't like to talk about it, which I get, because they want to protect themselves, they want to protect their children and those things, so absolutely protect your children. I get that.
Yeah, so here's what happened to us. We got diagnosed with DID when our son was 3 years old, and our whole family said, like, you are a danger to your baby, right?
Yeah.
Because you have DID. That was the only reason. Nothing happened. They just, like, I got the label, and my family said, hey, you're officially in danger now. So, and I became scared of myself. I really became scared of myself, and I thought, what if they're right? I don't want to make the same mistakes as my parents did.
Right.
So I contacted the parents of my ex-husband, and I asked them if they were able to take him into their house so I could find therapy, and they did. So that gave me the peace of mind, like, he's in a safe environment, in the safest environment he could be in.
That's good.
The place I, as a child, would have dreamed to live at, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that is so great. Obviously, I still see him multiple times a week. He was 10-minute bike ride away from me.
Oh, good.
So next year, he will be 10 years old, and he can drive on his bike himself back and forth between us. So that's great. We're all looking forward to that. And it's going great, but I'm very, very blessed and happy that I had that backup from his grandparents, from his safe grandparents.
That is, yeah, that is really fantastic. I think that's something important too, is that you had the presence of mind. You wanted to work more in therapy before continuing on as a full-time parent. That doesn't mean that you're not his parent. I think people have this strange disconnect sometimes to where they're like afraid that someone's going to come and take the child, which again, we get that fear. We do. We understand that fear, especially from someone living with DID.
Yeah, and it's possible, right? But my situation is very different. I trust these people. We live close to each other on purpose, right? I motivate him to be nice to the grandparents. They motivate him to be nice to me, right? So it's his normal. And for us, I just, like, of course, it was super, super painful in the beginning. I mean, and I reacted purely out of fear. Let's be very clear about that. Yeah. It was purely out of fear that I called them and said, you have to take him right now. Because I have DID, and apparently that's a really bad, scary thing, so I don't want to risk my child.
Right.
What was I going to say? I forgot. I love that.
I get that, yeah. The stop and start of my brain is endless.
Oh, that's horrible. I forgot, sorry.
No, you're okay. We were just talking about... Regarding his grandparents, his safe grandparents, because that is something that we also identify with. We have grandparents, but we had safe grandparents. They're passed away now, but that's the...
Yeah.
It's a very clear and important distinction. And I think it's great that you have that support, though, because they're not... You know, you see it sometimes with family dynamics, because... If you got DID, you probably understand the mess that are relatives.
Yes.
But in some capacity, you get it. but having that support to where they're not going to poison him against you. You know what I mean? They're close by.
Yeah.
He's still your son. You guys can see him. He'll be able, that's exciting though, that he's going to be 10 and then he can ride his bike over to you because it's so close. And that,
that's going to be so awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. There's all different types of families and dynamics. And as long as you're family and not just a relative of somebody, then I think that's just important.
I remember what I was going to say. So I traveled all over the world. I've been to Africa, to Mozambique, and I've been to Indonesia multiple times. And what I've seen there is that the village takes care of the children, right? It's not one parent, it's the village. And so I tried to apply that mindset to my own situation where I said, it's okay, I'm not giving him away. I'm just making sure the whole village is looking out for him and not just me on my own. And it worked out great for us. So I'm very thankful for his grandparents indeed. Especially like his dad and me divorced by now, but they still take really great care of him. So that's very, very nice.
Yeah, it is truly fantastic, and I think it's awesome that you've been to Africa, by the way.
I love Africa so much.
Some of my parts would love to go. Did you do, like, any of the, like, touristy safari-type things?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
No, I worked at an orphanage, and I worked with the poor people, and after that I went back home, and I didn't do anything touristy whatsoever. I always regret it afterwards, but I don't know, that's how my trip ends up. I never get to do the tourist things. Last time when I was in Indonesia, I lived in Jakarta twice for 8 months. And the second time I was there, I was forcing myself to take a vacation to Bali. So I went there and I still went to work. And then I flew back to Jakarta. I was like, that was a great holiday. I didn't relax once. So there's that.
It's still amazing experiences, though.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
It is.
For us, our plan was to one day start an orphanage and save 50,000 children from whatever they're going through.
Wow.
So that was what we were doing. That was the life we were living. And then one day, you know, after we got diagnosed, we realized, like, you know what, those 50,000 children, what if they're not actually, you know, children in Africa and Indonesia?
Yeah.
But they're the children inside of us, of those with DID, right?
Yep.
They still need saving, even though they might be in a safe place right now, right? They're stuck in time.
Yeah.
So that's how we shifted from helping kids on the outside world to helping kids in the inside world, I guess. And everyone else. We're not just there for children, obviously.
Right, but no, that's really cool how that shift occurred, though.
Yeah.
Can you share some about your Facebook group and what it's like being an open system on social media? Some of the ups and downs of that you experience?
Yes. So we have a Facebook group called Alternation. That's our support group. And then we have an empowerment group called Power to the Plurals, like our website. So we started out with Alternation, our support group. And that grew really quickly, really big, to be honest.
I'm sure
which
it did.
We didn't expect. I was actually thinking, hoping kind of for like a small, intimate group of people. But instead, it became a big thing, which is also great, but not what I had envisioned up front. So what we do there is we support other people by explaining our own personal stories, right? I also experienced this. I also go through that. I also went through that, but now I'm okay. Or this is how I healed from that. Or this is how I grew to that level where I could be conscious. And I think from interacting with other people who have the same disorder, you can learn so much and grow so much.
Yeah.
Instead, like, it's a different kind of collaboration than when a professional tells you, if you do this, this will happen. Right? Because it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah, sure, I'll do my breathing and then I'll feel better, sure. But then if you see other people share in the group, like, hey, this worked for me and it works for you, it's fantastic, really.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I know that you probably know this, and I know that actually quite a few of our listeners do as well. Yes, we are talking about a DID Facebook group, because I know that a lot of people who've spoken to us know that we really don't like a lot of them. Alternation is the only Facebook group that we will likely ever talk about and support, because they do a fantastic job of protecting people, making sure everyone's safe, making sure that triggers are, they're on top of them. Trigger warnings
are
required. You guys really are. And if you're newly joining the group, they're going to double check all of your posts. And I think that is fantastic, the group of admins that you have, and then you and how you guys created it and built it and set it up, and then how much it's grown, because you're right, it's one of the bigger ones for sure, and that can be very difficult.
Yeah, we're the third biggest group at the moment, but we only started like a year ago.
Right.
So, and the other groups have been around for a little bit longer. But yeah, we're working really hard on it, and we have a fantastic team, because I couldn't have done it alone for sure.
Oh, it's mathematically impossible to try and stay on top of that many people all day, every day. 24/7, that's not possible. You need people in different time zones and that sort of thing. And you really did do a great job on selecting your facilitators of the group, the admins, you know, the co-admins or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever they call it on Facebook.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really. It means a lot to me, because we work so hard for it, right, to keep it all up to date and, like,
right.
Also scientifically correct, because that's what annoys me in other groups so much. Like, you can have your own opinion, but scientifically there is a certain base we follow, right?
Yes. So, yes. And I agree. That's one of my parts, Stevie. That's one of her frustrations with some of those Facebook groups. Because she's like, you know, it's fine that you have an opinion on this, but then you can't claim it to be fact. That's opinion. There's a difference between fact and opinion, and you can't claim fact when it's opinion based, because then you're going to end up with, well, exactly what you have, a Facebook group of a bunch of people running around that's just a mess, and nobody's actually being helped or there's not even support there, because I myself don't view that as support.
Me neither.
Your group, I call supportive, and that's why we wanted you on. That's why we wanted to talk about it, so people are aware of it, because Alternation is the only Facebook group that we like. And it's not that, you know, we were triggered in another one, just to clarify for everybody listening. It's not that somebody was mean to us in another one. That's not it. The problem is that in Alternation, they have checks and balances. They have things set up to actually help you, to actually give you peer support. You have to trigger warn things, which is important and should be done, but a lot of these other groups, they don't do that. They're not on top of it. And again, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody. I'm not going to tell you the names of these groups. If you go to them, you'll figure it out for yourself. It's just, so backward the way some things are done. And then other ones, if you, even if you put a trigger warning, if you talk about therapy, you'll get blocked immediately. And it's just not, whew, I get that it can be triggering for people, but my God, if you're not letting people reach out and talk about needing real world help, then what are you doing?
Yeah. For us, our whole initial idea behind Alternation was that we have people who are disordered, and then we have people who are not disordered anymore. And we wanted to bring those people together so they can learn from each other. There's always more to learn, right? So even those who are not disordered anymore can still learn and grow. And it's working out fantastic.
Yeah, it really is. You guys have... You set up like this great balance of things, and that was one of the first things that Stevie had pointed out to me, because she stopped allowing us to use Facebook groups because of just how chaotic some of them are.
Yeah.
But when we, I think we found you on Twitter, I believe. And then I know that one of my parts had found your website, and then I think, it was the website, because then from there... I had looked up the Facebook group. That's
great.
What it was. We're very excited that something like that exists for people, because even when I was first diagnosed, like 6 years ago now, something like that didn't exist yet.
No.
So it was just, it's good that people are doing these types of things. People with DID are speaking now. They're supporting each other because there isn't support available. They're having these conversations that, while very difficult, even sometimes triggering, they're still having some of these conversations.
Yeah.
For the benefit of others within the DID community. And I think that is one of the biggest ways to go about making changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too.
So you guys are
doing... And especially, I think this year we have to like take advantage of the 25-year mark.
Yeah.
And really push this year, right, to get some answers also from the professional community.
Yeah. That is, absolutely. I agree with that. That's something that we tend to focus our energy more on, is getting psychologists the training that they're not getting at a collegiate level. They're just not.
Yeah.
They're not spending enough time on trauma disorders. And I tell them, I was like, this should make you more angry than it makes me. Like,
yeah.
You are paying for this education, and they are not giving you the tools and equipment that you're going to need, the knowledge and information that you need to help trauma disorders. Those are the most, I'm not talking specifically DID here. I'm talking about trauma-based disorders.
Absolutely.
You're not being trained in this, and this is the most prevalent thing you're going to come across. And then I've had a few responses like, well, what, anxiety and depression are more common. Right, but why does that person have anxiety and depression? Why do they have it?
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
It's a frustration.
But I also think within the DID specialists that we have some things that are unclear.
Yeah.
For example, we still don't know if the ISSTD thinks we should do final fusion integration, and that's the end goal of therapy. They are unclear, and I want an answer this year. I've been bugging them last year for an answer, and they didn't give it for me. They didn't give it to me. So this year, I want an answer from them.
And that's fair. You know, you have to kind of demand answers.
Yes.
Especially if you're advocating for yourself and other people. Sometimes you have to be that voice and that person that's like, listen, I want an answer to this. And I don't view the way that a lot of psychologists discuss integration as possible. Because
me neither.
All of a sudden my parts are just going to be gone because they're healed, or you're a wizard and they disappear. I'm being condescending, I apologize. However, it's true. It's very strange how they discuss that, because the science of that doesn't make sense to me. Because I'm 31 years old, and I have a fully formed adult brain.
Right.
How do you change the chemistry of that fully, that my parts would be gone? That, as far as science understands today in the current climate, that isn't physiologically possible. Now, a traumatic brain injury could occur, and that would also change my brain. But that is impact. That's not...
Yeah.
I don't know the word I'm looking for. Emotional, I suppose. It's not an emotional impact. It's a physical impact.
Yes.
I think the brain's interesting. I apologize. I'll go off and rant on this.
I think the brain is also very interesting, and I think it's possible, you know, to calm your brain down, to retrain your brain to get out of that fight or flight situation.
Yes, absolutely.
But to say we can fully integrate and our parts go away, I don't see that happening, you know, in the people I know who live with DID, and those who have been integrated, often they are not integrated anymore at a later time.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten many messages from them, actually from a few of their parts over the years that we've been openly discussing it on Twitter. We've gotten messages from people's systems who say that she thinks she's integrated and this doctor helped us. We're in our 60s now. You know, the body is in their 60s. And we don't really know what to do because if we start going back, she might notice. And then, like, okay, listen, if someone is still having severe and heavy flashbacks, or not even severe, but if you're still having like these flashbacks, if you're still having night terrors, not nightmares, but night terrors, then integration didn't work. So stop pushing that and try and push or try and work with the person, with the system, with the individual on what will work for them. So for us, how we define integration is my system living a unified life with a unified goal. My parts don't just randomly run away and disappear anymore. They don't hop in the car and drive across the country anymore. They don't go and get different jobs randomly anymore. We work together, and that, to me, is integration.
Yeah.
Because we are integrated consciously in a singularly driven goal.
Yeah, we say the three C's, communication, cooperation, and co-consciousness.
Yes.
Those are our, like, end goals, right? To become a functional system.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not final fusion, like Kluft explains.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually, the three C's. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, sure. I didn't come up with it. I don't know who did, but I didn't come up with it, just to be clear.
No problem. I'll give you the credit because that's where I heard it from. Well, everybody, we are coming to the end here, so I just wanted to thank Sarah and the Stronghold System for coming on. And last little bit here, is there anything that you wanted to share with our listeners before we get off here?
Thank you, Erica, for having me on this podcast, and thank you to your audience for listening to you and me talking about DID. I think it was a very interesting experience, and I'm so thankful that I got to share my personal experience with DID with you and the world.
Yes, thank you. We will definitely have to have you on as a special guest, I think, another time, and like maybe at the end of the year or something like that, we'll do like a big recap thing, because I think it's really interesting to speak with people with DID and then do a recap on it to see where things were and how they're going now. I really like that idea. So we're definitely going to have you on again if you'll come.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
Fantastic. Thanks again to Sarah and the Stronghold System for being a guest on the We and Me podcast. Thanks to all of you who come back week to week for each new episode. We really appreciate your support. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Anchor, wherever it is that you listen, and also leave us a review. It really helps us move up the ranks and make it easier for people to find us, so we really appreciate that and all of your support as always. One last thing, if you follow us on Twitter at The We and Me, you may have seen the poll I posted the other day. This is a conversation that Kevin and company and I at One Little Pill have been having off and on for a few weeks now. We've been discussing doing a special series for the We and Me podcast, so stay tuned for that, especially for those of you who enjoy stories or having stories read to you. We will be selecting a few different types of books to read, specifically more for younger parts and littles to enjoy as well, because I know that a lot of our podcast is more adult content, but I also want to make sure that it is going to include younger parts and littles. So stay tuned for that. You should be able to see it coming this spring in 2019. All right, everybody, I'm going to get going because now I'm rambling. All right, everyone, we'll see you next week. Bye. Yeah.
da, da.